I forbid, when I was a kid, when Home Alone came out, I used to watch that movie religiously, and I actually, and believe it or not, this is actually true, I actually told my parents to start calling me Kevin. Everybody, welcome to this podcast. I am your terrible Australian, Bede, and with me, as always, is the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hi, Marcy, how are you?
I'm not terrible. How are you?
Well, that's good to hear, because there can only be one terrible person on this podcast.
And that is you.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Don't wear it out. But anyways, moving on, we got two guests today. First up, of course, is also the one, the only, but this one's a bit different because, you know, he's all Canadian bacon because he sizzles, and that is Nick. How are you, Nick?
Hello. I am very good, and I am sizzling tonight.
You notice I didn't mention you snoring, so... Oh, wait a minute, never mind.
Snoring, sizzling, yeah, you just did, so thank you very much. But I am the snoring, sizzling bacon, so I'll take it.
Well, I'm glad.
If there was only a sound effect for that, I would play it, but I don't.
Well, okay. And our last guest...
You're a terrible Australian.
Yes, I am. Our last guest, of course, is the first. This is his debut appearance on the Super Podcast. And if Marcy was introducing the show, she would say, of course, she'd be popping his cherry. But I'm not going to say that because that'd be sound really weird coming from a guy. And that is Doug. Hi, Doug. How are you?
You better hide your kids, hide your wife, because obviously we have a rapist in Linkin Park. You better hide your husband because you're raping everybody out there.
If anybody has no idea what that is, I'm so like YouTubing that on the podcast page.
Bed Intruder, Antoine is uber amazing. And if you have not seen that viral video on YouTube, just go to YouTube or Google it, Bed Intruder. And Bed Intruder. Be prepared to laugh. There's two different versions of the video. One is the original newscast, and you're going to laugh your butt off. And the other version of the video is there's a group out there called Autotune. What they do is they take viral videos, and they mash them up, they autotune them, they make conversations into songs, and they put this down to a fat track. It is so amazing. So watch the original, and then watch the Autotune version of it. It's called the iTunes version of it. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I bought the song on iTunes. I own it. I'm happy to say that I support getting Mr. Antoine out of the Linkin Park ghetto, around, away from those rapists. So hide your kids, hide your wife. You'll have to come confess. We're looking for you. We don't find you. So you can run and tell that.
We definitely have to put that video on the podcast at some point so yes. People know what the hell we're talking about.
I'll just have like a random link to the YouTube video.
If you're listening to the show right now, just pause it.
Whatever
you're doing, however you're listening to the show, seriously, go ahead and pause it right now. We'll wait for you. Go ahead and pause it. Watch the two videos on YouTube. Bed Intruder, watch the original newscast, about 3 minutes. Watch the auto tunes, about 4 minutes. And we'll sit here, wait for you, 7 minutes, come back, and you'll understand. Hurry up, what are you waiting for?
Exactly. Right, jump.
Go watch now.
Go watch it.
Go watch that video, damn it.
Go. Sorry, what are you still doing here?
Marcy said so.
Exactly. And that's yes. Going to like somehow not exactly segue into the topic of the show. Mm-hmm. Like in no way
Witches.
Whatsoever. I decided, because I'm the boss, I guess, to try do something different, because I don't know, all the topics seem to be too similar to each other. So we're going to go ahead and discuss the movies that we grew up with and like the, you know, like the family films from when we were little and how they compare to like the kids and family movies that are coming out now. So I'll go first, because I feel like it. I'm just taking over posting duties.
What a
from
narcissist!
Well, duh.
Yeah.
At least I'll give you guys an example of what I'm talking about. So, okay, so movies that I grew up with, aside from like the obvious. Well, I guess not really so obvious, but I used to watch a lot of Disney movies when I was a kid, and I used to like. I think the first movie I saw in the cinema might have actually been The Little Mermaid. So I used to watch those like Disney princess movies, like that Beauty and the Beast, Sleeping Beauty, not so much Snow White or Cinderella, but mainly those other three. And I guess now the Disney princesses are still popular, but I don't know, they just seemed better back then. Did anyone else watch Disney princess movies?
Well, like if you're including like Princess Jasmine and Aladdin and all
well,
that.
Well, Aladdin then, and, yeah. You know.
She was hot.
Oh, yeah.
For a cartoon
Jessica
character.
Rabbit. It's all about Jessica.
Oh, dude.
But she wasn't a princess.
Well, she was still animated. But that was another one I watched as a kid. But
bad girl.
You know, did you guys watch those movies or were they too girly?
I just bought
Beauty and the Beast on Blu-ray. It's fantastic.
When you're 7, 8 years old, that's the closest you'll ever get to porn, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. Banger like a beast.
There you go. I was like, two things I would do to you.
Like, you says to the genie, I want her to fall in love with me. Nowadays, most kids would probably laugh at that and say, where do you just wish to get blown by her or something like that?
I mean, that's a couple of monkeys.
Oh, my God.
Robin Williams, man.
See, Disney, movie. It's still dirty.
Did you say Nanu Nanu?
No.
I'm taking the chance lot.
Well, yeah, Disney still remains dirty.
The Lion King.
As a kid, they were not dirty. As I got older and there was, like, people talking about all those subliminal messaging in there, it's really
weird.
Well,
like, can you feel the love tonight? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can feel it.
Yes.
Do you guys remember what movie it was of the Disney series where, I want to say it was Aladdin or, I don't remember, it may have been Beauty and the Beast. I think one of the castles was actually the artist. It was a little rift where he was, I guess, fired to let go, and Disney hadn't paid him supposedly what they owed him. So in the final artwork, one of the castles was actually the shape of a penis.
The Little Mermaid.
Wasn't that? Yeah, that was
there,
a little
actually went out into production.
The Little Mermaid castle.
As soon as they sent out, I think it was like the first run, the second run, he said, oh, guess what, by the way. And boy, that was.
Nobody ever noticed.
Awesome. I know. I was like, dude, sir.
See, it's really
that was
early.
His contribution.
Yeah, well, all the Disney animated movies have like little dirty innuendos, like trickled throughout the entire movies, like you know, certain moments and all that. Like, there's a famous one in The Lion King where like Simba's like on a cliffside and he just like lies down on the ground, and when the dust comes up, apparently the dust spells SEX in the sky.
Very clearly,
that's what that one was. I couldn't remember.
You know, because when you're lying and you're laying in the dark and you got all the stuff just around you, the beautiful moon and the dust, you just
what's with the little that voice you're putting on there with your trying to make it sound sexier or something.
That's what that's anyway.
It's deep voice. Oh God,
I'm just waiting for
that.
Oh yeah.
I ain't doing that.
Marcy likes
Dobby. No. Well, actually, well, you know, speaking of Harry Potter, the new one's coming out very soon, which I'm both sad and excited for, but that was not really a movie from my childhood, but because I came out when I was, you know, older, just coming out of high school or whenever it was, I can't remember. But do you think they're not really appropriate anymore for kids, really?
I don't think they're still are. Just playing Harry Potter.
There's what?
Well,
I said I don't think they're appropriate for the guy that's playing Harry Potter. I don't even know the actors, but I mean seriously, isn't he a little too old?
Well, he was.
They were both, or like all three of them were 11 or 12 when they started.
Yeah, it's taken that long to do it.
It's like I think they're only like 20 now.
Yeah.
It's no different than someone who's 35 playing a 17-year-old.
There you go. Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Dude, Marcy, I'm sorry to take you off track, but I was watching a local talk show two days ago, Wendy Williams here in the U.S., and Shannon Doherty was on there. Oh, my God. She did not age well at all.
Oh, I so don't want to know.
Dude, seriously.
I remember what she looks like.
She went from, dude, if you were laying in my bed, I certainly wouldn't kick you out, to what the f- are you doing here? Oh, go. Seriously, go.
I've got to look her up now. That's just too disturbing not to look up.
You hit Marcy's curiosity bone.
Definitely. Well, yeah, those are some, well, my Disney movies were like, when I was really young, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 and onwards, they were what I really grew up with. But does anyone have anything else that, like, not so much like, you know, as we discussed before the show started, like watching Die Hard, but were there like any other suggestions or?
What, like in terms of like Disney movies, animated movies?
Well, not Disney movies, but just movies in general, but not so much like Die Hard, because I think we've talked about those movies endlessly.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say for me, if I had to point out two specific animated films that I think were a big part of my childhood, and ones that I'd give any for like anything for them on Blu-ray, are The Great Mouse Detective and Rescuers Down Under, which are two of my absolute, and funny enough, Nostalgia Critic had an episode recently where he said Rescuers Down Under was one of the most like underrated guilty pleasures ever. Like, it's an astounding.
But that title just sounds so dirty.
It roll you down, down under, baby. You would know where you guys are. But actually, it never actually confirms that it's actually in Australia, which is funny enough. But
they're just down under.
I think it is assumed that it is down under, but I think from based on, because I haven't seen the movie in such a long time, but after seeing like the Nostalgia Critic review of it, I was just surprised that only one person in that entire movie actually used an Australian accent.
And it was probably a bad one.
To be Crocodile Dundee, kind of the one mouse.
Yeah.
John Candy is so funny in that movie. But yeah, those two, and The Great Mouse Detective, which is, for those who don't know, funny, both movies are all mice are playing the main characters, but
you've got a thing Great about Mouse Detective, mice.
What's that?
I said you've got a thing about mice.
I know, I like the mice. But basically there's a mouse who lives under Sherlock Holmes's estate in the film, and he's become a detective as well, except his name is Basil of Baker Street instead of Sherlock Holmes, and it's just a fantastic story and just one I love. It's a little violent and scary, but definitely one of my faves as a kid.
Cool. Would you still watch it now?
Oh, absolutely. I just think they're really, you know, you grow up, but there are still some films that just make you feel like you're, you know, that age again. And not only do I want them for myself, but I want my kids to see them.
Mm. Cool.
So that's the most important thing to me.
Cool. Bede or Doug, do you have any, like, something specific you want to bring up?
I'll let Doug go first. It's, you know, he's the guest.
Okay. Hey, Marcy, just on the whole mouse conversation, I really one day hope that I can introduce you guys to my friend Tom. His claim to fame is he's hugging like a felt mouse. I think you guys would really, really enjoy it. He's freaking hilarious. The biggest movies that stick out. Sorry, the biggest movie that stick out in my opinion from my childhood, Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris. He was like the ultimate badass. you know, guns don't kill people, Chuck Norris kills people kind of thing. And I remember, you know, because we were poor, much like Antoine. You know, we grew up in the ghettos and stuff of Las Vegas. Okay. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't get to go out to see, you know, movies very often. But I think it was Good Guys Wear Black. I think it may have been one of the movies that we went to see. My stepdad, big Chuck Norris fan. And we were fortunate enough to get to see a couple of Chuck Norris films at the drive-in theater. I'm telling you, the movie experience of a drive-in theater was just the ultimate, the best, and I love those things. Luckily for us, we haven't been to it lately, but there's a drive-in still today. It's about an hour and a half away from my house. I got to take my kids out there one of these days, speaking of drive-ins. But Gremlins.
Ooh.
Gremlins. That was another one that we had to go.
That was just definitely an amazing, one.
You know, just an amazing movie. I love Gremlins. I love Gizmo. I love Stripe. I love the whole concept of the movie, the story. You know, I want to be one of those little guys running around and some people up on occasion, you know, people that comment negative stuff on YouTube videos, that kind of thing. people don't shut up, you know. Keep interrupting, whatever. You know, part one was just amazing, especially the part when they're in the theater. That is one of the best, I think, sequences of any film that I can remember seeing as a childhood. And I guess it's really so special to me because you really, as you get older, you become a parent, you have children. You find yourself introducing your children to not only just movies, but video games and stuff that you played when you were a child, and seeing them get into the same kind of movies, the same cartoons. You know, the whole Transformers thing nowadays just completely taken on another personality. You know, from where it was when I was a kid, when I watched, you know, Transformers the cartoon, you know, GoBots. awesome cartoon, G.I. Joe for the most part. Voltron, one of my all-time favorites, and I cannot wait for the Voltron movie to come out. That is going to be so amazing. Gremlins 2 was equally as good as the first Gremlins movie. I think that they really took the premise of the movie, took it to another level. I was really, really enjoying it, and I would really like to see, of all the movies that are being remade, I got to tell you, with the CG and the capability that they have with graphics, ILM, you know, companies that are doing amazing things. Gremlins nowadays would be such a big, awesome movie with the technology that we have at our disposals to do that kind of thing. Another one, Wizard of Oz, the original, of course, yes. Not the Michael Jackson remake.
I was going to bring that up. The Wizard of Oz was one of my all-time favorite movies as a kid. I used to go down the driveway as I was, you know, I was going down the yellow brick road, but there was no one with me.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't watch that till I was much older, maybe like 10 or 11.
Yeah. I never got around to
seeing it when I was a kid. I mean, it still had the same effect on me when I was 10 or 11. It's one of my all-time faves, but I did not see that very young.
But you know, the absolute truth, though, seriously speaking for just a minute, I think everyone on this podcast can look back and reflect that there was movies that we may have seen as an older teen or maybe a young adult that we didn't see as a child, cult classics. And you know, one other one before it escapes my mind, and I got to tell you, in the States, we're so blessed to have Netflix because we have instant play where we can, you know, play these movies on our iPhones, our iPods, and our Apple TVs and all kinds of TVs and stuff. Absolute cult classic, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Absolutely. And you want to know something? The funny thing is I saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show like when I was 6 or 7.
I didn't see that until I was older.
It's like, I seriously, when I sat there watching it as a kid, I was like, did somebody put a shroom in my mouth or something? Because it just didn't seem right. And then the movie it was amazing.
That was the only movie that my mom ever had a problem. In any other movie, she didn't care. That was the only movie she ever had a problem with me watching so young. Because, you know, the whole transsexual part of it and putting funny ideas in, you know, kids' head or whatever. But it's just an absolute – I mean, I was watching that the other night on Blu-ray. It's just fucking timeless. Absolutely timeless.
And, you know, the cool thing going back to The Wizard of Oz, guys, last year they took the original film scans from the original Wizard of Oz and they – use some of this beautiful technology that they have at their disposals nowadays. It was actually re-encoded, re-rendered, and it was scanned in at 4K resolution. If you're not familiar with what 4K is, it's actually two times or four times the resolution of 1080p HD.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the 4000 by something.
Yeah, which if you look at it, it's four times the resolution of 1080p HD. So when they scanned these original in, they did all the remastering and the color, and it's available as a Blu-ray. And I'm hoping that Santa will bring that to me for Christmas this year, because it's a limited edition box set. And to be able to see Dorothy's ruby red slippers really look pristine and ruby red, oh my God, I'm really, really waiting. I can't wait to get that. Can't wait to see it.
Oh, everyone's just gone quiet. Just still dreaming about looking at those ruby slippers.
Because
I wish I had a brain.
I have a lot of heart, but not so much brain. But there's another movie. The name of this movie escapes me, guys. And this is another one that is just a timeless cult classic.
Okay, name it faster.
Let's play a game. One of the actors in the movie was Rick McManus, and there was a plant.
Little Shop of Horrors.
That's another one that when I think about the movies that I watched as a kid outside of Chuck Norris's whooping holy hell on anybody that came within 200 miles of him without even touching him, these are the kind of movies that I really reflect on. And to see my kids watch them and just say, wow, it's kind of cool. Even though they were recorded on cameras that you could probably pick up at a local pawn shop for like $10 these days. It's still, I don't know, is it nostalgia, guys, that really takes us back, or are they just such classic movies that they're really timeless?
I think both, nostalgia. Really.
Mm-hmm. I think both.
Because some things are just that classic, but, you know. Yeah.
Nostalgia. In a funny way, it is both.
Yeah, well, I think it's both, really.
It's ranked high up there on the list, right?
Yeah.
The silence is so funny.
Yep.
Yeah, B, do you want to name some of yours? Oh my gosh, I can't talk.
Okay, some of my all-time favorite movies I used to watch as a kid, and all the films I'm going to mention are linked because the same person was involved in every single one of them. And the first one I want to talk about is probably after Pulp Fiction, this is my second favorite movie. The time, and that is The Goonies.
The Goonies.
Yep.
Yes, The Goonies.
The Goonies.
I absolutely love The Goonies. You suck, Nick.
I'm sorry. But that was another one that I watched when I was older, and that was one of the few that I watched when I was older, and I was like, I don't get the deal of this movie. I really don't. I don't see what's so funny about it. I don't see what's so cute about it. I don't know. Drive.
It's also, anyway, I will not stand for your blasphemy.
One at a time. It is also,
I will not stand for your blasphemy. I will take you down right now.
No. I appreciate your love for it. I'm just saying, I just don't get it.
You might have to watch it again.
That is a possibility. When I did see it, it was like back in high school, so maybe it was a bad time since I hated high school. So, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
There was this one where I threw a pomegranate at a teacher.
Yeah.
But pretty much The Goonies pretty much summed up my entire childhood. I mean, I used to watch this movie all the time. I mean, I used to watch it like every couple of weeks. Now I still watch it like once a year. And now it's coming out on Blu-ray, and I'm going to be buying the Blu-ray for sure. Awesome. And I'll be watching Sucker over and over again in high def. Because it is awesome. And and if anyone has mouthed, I will take you down.
I remember that movie as a kid.
Twitter fights with people over it.
Didn't you like yell at Devin, whatever his name is, on Twitter over hating that movie?
Actually, I yelled at both Devin Faraci and Drew McWeeny. And they actually sent me...
Did you say McWeeny?
Yeah, McWeeny.
McWeeny?
McWeener?
McWeener. Hi, my name is McBeebe, and I'm hung like a field mouse.
Oh my god.
Could you imagine?
Now we just make Anyway, yes, they actually must have been really pissed off by what I said because they actually replied back. Mm. And Marcy had to, like, you know, back one of them, had the pictures back, so we didn't fight anymore.
that was funny.
That's how passionate I am. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Real quick, because you mentioned Goonies, what about Ghoulies?
Is that the one with the cover there on the toilet?
Yeah.
I put that as, like, awful posters for the Ghoulies on the toilet.
Dude, that's, like, one of the best movies ever. And you know what? The first time one of my children were born, that's the first thing I thought. Ghoulies. I mean, as beautiful as my kids are today, F me that they didn't look like freaking Ghoulies when they came out, I swear to God.
With all the muck and everything.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you ever see a kid being born, I'm telling you, you'll probably put that poster in the kids at nursery. For real. And you'll show, this is you. This is you, you little bastard. Deep horn.
Power of Christ compares you.
Ghoulies. I just remember them being on a toilet on the poster.
In the toilet, yeah.
I remember watching that as a kid, and me and my cousin were like, this is so bad. I can't remember how old we were at the time. We were really young. And we just, like, laughed for 10 minutes and turned it off.
That's really awesome for the posters, Marcy, for real. Because they are so dumb, really, really dumb.
Yeah. For real. The first one is even worse than the second one as far as the posters go. I might have to put the first one up as the next awful poster for the week.
Yeah.
Just ugly. I mean, look, a face only a mother could love for real, but still, ugly people love too.
Ugly like people Rocky need Dennis. Love too. Oh, God. Poor kid. I'm laughing at the Ghoulies in a toilet.
Dude, if you Google it, there's a picture with two of them hanging out of the toilet. That's awesome. Can we get some hoedown Ghoulie love here on this podcast?
Sorry. Dude, I haven't seen it, so I can't really say too much about it.
Well, you should go and watch the Ghoulies. Actually,
Marcy, you should really consider using this image as the album art for this podcast.
I think I will.
I have to send you this. This is so amazing. I'm telling you, this show just took a turn for the better. This is some straight up Ghoulie on Ghoulie action in the toilet. Loving it.
Classic.
Actually, I think Bede will appreciate this. One movie I wish I had seen when I was a kid would be Troll 2.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw that growing up, but yeah, that would have been awesome as a kid. But
yeah, I saw that maybe a year and a half ago for the first time.
It would have
scared the crap out of me as a kid for some reason.
Like, that's because you're scared of, like, powder.
You're scared of an albino man?
Actually,
I think Pat said he was scared of the director that time.
Actually, she's making a reference to Paranormal Activity.
Marcy would never be scared of it, all those things happening in her place.
These Ghoulies are like doing a Hail Hitler. I've got to send you the picture in the chat. It's like that Captain America thing from the old movie, but
that is wrong on so many levels.
To move the conversation along, what other movies were you going to bring up, Bede?
The other two movies.
Oh my God! There's a Ghoulies 3, because... and they've got hats on, like they're graduating from the toilet. Ghoulies go to college. Oh my God!
Had better costumes than that.
Ghoulies go to college. Sorry. Continue, Bede. I didn't mean to just interrupt.
Yes, the Ghoulies have taken over this podcast.
I'm going to call it the Ghoulies edition in the toilet.
Anyways, the reason why I brought up the Goonies first, which is a masterpiece and it is awesome, like that's my final word on it. And if you haven't seen it, go out and see it right now. And if you have seen it, but it's been a while,
I should check it out again
if you don't.
When I was little, I used to have the massive hots for Josh Brolin in that movie.
And you still do.
Well, yeah, he's come along nicely. Ghoulies in the toilet.
Well, see, I thought you had like a major crush on Corey Feldman when you were a kid.
I did, as embarrassing as that is to admit. But that was in like, what was that movie, License to Drive, with Heather Graham? Yeah. Was it Heather Graham?
Yeah, it was Heather Graham.
Yeah, and the other Corey who passed away recently. Anyway, that was another film from like, you know, growing up. But yeah, what else were you going to mention?
Well, I was going to say that one of the reasons I brought up the Goonies first is because one of the people who was involved with it was Steven Spielberg, who, you know, executive produced the film and also came up with the story. And the next two, and also the next two films I want to bring up, of course, are E.T. the Extraterrestrial and Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. You bastard, you stole mine. Damn it.
As far as E.T. goes, I used to watch it all the time, but when E.T. got sick, I got so upset, I had to fast forward it every time. I start crying.
I rewatched it again last year, and I was still crying.
Oh, I still do to this day.
Now, there's a movie that needs to come out. It is just like one of the.
Stop freaking me out.
But I absolutely love E.T. I mean, if you do not love this movie, you have no heart, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, do we actually know anyone in real life who actually doesn't like E.T.?
I don't really know anyone My dad. That doesn't like it. Really?
I mean, he literally
calls it the extra testicle.
I know a lot of men out there that are the size of his finger.
it's a timeless, absolutely timeless classic.
It is a classic, and if anyone bad like the Goonies bad mouths E.T., I will punch you in the face. I mean, it is your duty, people out there, to punch anyone in the face who bad mouths E.T.
Now let's get to the true masterpiece, which was your second film,
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I saw that in the theater when I was 6 years old.
I saw that in the theater, and I remember having the biggest argument with my parents about being able to see the movie. I think I was 9 at the time. And my mother's argument was, Steven Spielberg's not even going to let his kids watch it. And I'm like, do you look like Steven Spielberg?
Do you have a beard?
Mom's like, how is this 9-year-old having this argument with me? But I went and saw it, and this was, I think, the first movie they had, like, digital surround sound for.
Well, Apocalypse Now was technically the first.
Well, you know, whatever they had, Jurassic Park was the first one. I'd probably have to, like, look it up and tell you what it was.
It probably had, like, full digital check.
I think so. And it was, like, one of the scariest times that I had at the cinema. I kept looking behind me because I thought the dinosaurs were behind me. However, after I saw the movie, I wanted pet dinosaurs. And I was 9 years old running around pretending to be a dinosaur. And
I wanted to be an overweight programmer who gets eaten by a dinosaur. So,
you know, to this day, we still call him the stupid guy from Jurassic Park. The first film to use DTS digital surround sound. There you go.
Hello, Newton. Yep.
I absolutely love Jurassic Park. I have to admit, when I first saw it the first time, it scared the absolute shit out of me.
Yeah, but you're scared of everything.
It was scary for like
a 9-year-old.
Dilophosaur, I agree with you.
Like, it was like I'd be hiding behind the seat and I got scared so much, I actually left the theater and like went down to the stairwell and like poked my head out to see what was around the corner to see what was going on.
See, I went to see my mom and dad. We have this theater up here called the Omnisphere or something like that. Yeah, and it's like this big globe. It looks like Epcot Center, but there's a theater inside. And we went to see it, and it just scared. And I was only maybe, I think I was just turning 7. It just came out, and like I said, my mom and dad, you know, they took me to see anything because I could handle it. But the scene with the Dilophosaurus when it kills, Dennis, like,
oh my god, that was like the best scene. I loved that. I wanted that dinosaur for a pet.
when it spits venom in your eyes and chooses.
Yeah, the last I'm like, oh my god, it's so cute. Ooh, it's so deadly. I want one.
That could be like a guard dog.
Yeah. And speaking of someone we mentioned before the podcast started, the movie has Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
However, his arm comes off.
You know, it took me years to figure out that was actually him.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was him until, like, I saw it, like, a few years ago, and I'm like, crap, how did I not notice Samuel L. Jackson was in this movie?
Well, that's the whole thing. Well, when I first saw it, obviously, I had no idea who Samuel L. Jackson was. But even, like, when she goes to the power station and that arm, that, you know, the cut-off arm falls on her shoulder, I didn't realize that was supposed to be his arm. Because, she's going, Mr. Arnold? Mr. Arnold? And I'm like, who the fuck is Mr. Arnold? And
dumbass.
Oh, he's going to the maintenance shed. And I realized, you know, what a maintenance shed is years and years later. I'm like, oh, that was Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny that that maintenance shed was, like, out in the middle of the jungle.
Of course it is. All maintenance sheds are.
Yeah, that movie, I think it really is a classic.
Oh, it is.
It's an absolute classic. And it still holds up. I mean, the visual effects in that movie are much better than most of the visual effects that are in movies.
They're better than the effects from Mega Piranha.
Oh.
Well, you want to know something? I remember I was watching King Kong, the latest King Kong from Peter Jackson in the theater, and I remember sitting there during the T-Rex King Kong fight. I'm sitting there thinking the T-Rexes look more fake in this movie than they did in Jurassic Park.
That's true. Like, I gotta agree with you though.
It holds up. It's just like Terminator 2.
Yeah,
but the dinosaurs in that one were like, the T-Rexes in that one were like uber T-Rexes.
And they were. But I don't know, you cannot tell in Jurassic Park what is real and what is not. You can't.
I think it's I think you can, because I think, like, I'll admit some visual effects in King Kong were a little off, but I think when it came to actually King Kong himself and some of the dinosaurs, it looked pretty realistic.
King Kong
to me.
Was the best thing.
Oh, it did look very realistic, but I still don't think it matches Jurassic Park in terms of the atmosphere and putting the dinosaurs in an environment and just, you know, shading them and everything. I just think it was just absolutely fantastic, especially when it came to the raptors and, you know, the movements.
Yeah, those raptors were. The raptors were terrifying. I, like, pissed myself.
Oh, they scared the shit out of me.
Now, is Jurassic Park one that is still waiting to come out on Blu-ray?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is my most anticipated.
Okay.
They're definitely working on the Blu-ray as we speak. I know that it's coming out very soon.
He's also doing, just like Doug was saying earlier, with the 4K resolution, they're actually, Spielberg took Minority Report and did that same up conversion, and he's doing the same thing with Jurassic Park as we speak. Oh, we also did Saving Private Ryan as well.
So I still need to see the Blu-ray. But I've still sticking on the Spielberg topic. I think he's just somebody that, I don't know, he just was popping up all throughout my life with all these different movies. So other movies of his that I grew up with, which I got to mention, apart from, you know, what Beads mentioned. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, even though I used to get scared of aliens.
Oh, my favorite science fiction film ever.
I always remember watching that movie with my dad, and I remember, like, one of the first times when we were watching it, and I think my dad hadn't seen it for a while, and he's going, what is he doing with his mashed potato? You know how he builds that thing? And, you know, I watched it again recently, and I'm just like, everyone in this movie is so insane, but it's so good.
This means something.
It's all just,
this is important.
It was really, like, at that time, especially as a kid, I was so obsessed with aliens and UFOs and all that kind of stuff, so it was, like, the perfect movie for me, basically.
I cry my eyes out at the end every time.
It's got the when classic. They, I can't think of how the music. So I guess you watched it as a kid as well.
Oh, I hate that movie. Oh, I can't even put it in words. I've got it on Blu-ray, and whenever I'm down, that's what I put in.
Bede or Doug, did you guys
I never saw that as a kid. I actually saw that later on too, in life. That's a movie I've only seen once, and I definitely want to check it out again at some point.
Seen it once, had an impact on me. Just one of those, you know, it's the cool thing about podcasts like this and the roundtable type discussions about movies, it brings back the whole, you know, like I said earlier, it's the whole nostalgia thing. You guys are bringing back a lot of memories for me and reintroducing me, you know, to some things that I need to check out again, maybe some movies that I had forgot about. And whether they're up conversions to Blu-ray or whether it's just a DVD that you can put in a good Blu-ray player to up convert it a little bit, or even if it's just straight up DVD. A lot of things. I tell you, the next few months for me are going to be exciting because I'm sitting here with a notepad and I'm taking my notes and it's just like, yeah, that's another one to add, another one to add. And I can't wait till we start getting into other categories because there's a lot of great movies that this conversation has really helped me remember, brought to the forefront. I'm just sitting there, I was like, I don't want to go watch one of these right now. I gotta go.
I'm so tempted. I want to go watch Jurassic Park.
Yep.
There was a few more from Spielberg that I wanted to bring up really quickly. One I used to watch when I was really young is not quite a kid's movie, but it was Empire of the Sun, which was Christian Bale's very first movie. So I claim that I was a fan of his before anybody else started to like him.
I think that's one of Spielberg's most underrated films.
I think, for me, I actually think it might be one of his best. It is an amazing movie, and because the lead character is a kid, I think that's what really drew me in, and I always cried. I was like, what if I lost my parents in a war? Oh my god! It was just so upsetting, and it was just so good, and I used to love watching it all the time.
It was definitely the longer movies that we've talked about.
Yeah. It is a long movie, and it's just so good. I mean, what can I say about it? And another movie, and I know that people absolutely hate this movie, but I love it, and I've watched it recently, and I still love it. And that Hook,
love Hook.
I like Hook too.
Oh, thank that goodness. Movie
is all haters of Hook can die.
This was just a fun movie. It was Robin Williams as Peter Pan grown up, and it was so cool. And, you know, Dustin Hoffman played Captain Hook. I mean, it was so awesome.
Brilliant performance.
That's all I can say. And last year, I had the opportunity to meet Dante Basco, who played Rufio, and he signed my DVD, and it was so exciting. And I was talking to him about the movie, and I'm like, when I was a kid, I had the complete hots for Rufio. He's like, oh, that's so cute. And then I'm like, okay, I'm completely embarrassed, and we just laughed.
Did he ask you to crow?
Thank God, no.
One of my favorite sequences in that movie is the food fight scene, which is...
How could you not love that? It's just...
Yeah, like, it starts off being like, you know, they're not having any food at all and just, you know, pretending, and all of a sudden the food is actually there. Because Peter Pan is actually given into the...
And it looked like it was just all colourful cream and jellies, and it was like, I want to eat that.
That was a kid's dream.
It did not look like any type of food I ever seen before, but I so wanted to eat it.
It resembles the food in Troll 2, it looked more appealing in Hook.
Yeah, exactly.
I love when they're training him. I think that's some of the most entertaining shit ever. Is trying to make him, you know, come up with a happy thought and get him into shape again.
it's such a good movie. And the last ones that I want to bring up by Spielberg would be the original Indiana Jones movies, which I used to watch like every single weekend. I was obsessed with Indiana Jones. I wanted to like marry him and blah, blah, blah.
Precision Wizzle. on the list.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite film of all time, and I'm not even going to joke about that. I could, if someone told me it's the only movie I could watch for the rest of my life, no problem. Easy. Mm. That's it.
I think just we've brought the movies up a lot previously, so I don't know if there's much else to say about them.
Well, Spielberg just really knows how to make films that captivate, you know, all audiences, both young and old. And, I mean, that's why I think Spielberg is one of the great directors of all time, because, I mean, the man has made so many classics, you know, from, you know, all of his family stuff, from E.T. to Raiders, and, you know, to his much more darker films like Schindler's List, Munich and all that. I mean, the man is just all around amazing. I mean, he just knows, it's like he's a big kid himself, and he knows exactly what audiences want, and he knows how to deliver them.
Yep.
Well, that's how he always does his films. He always says every time, when I do a film, I look at a scene from the perspective of the audience. Mm. And what will thrill the audience? Not necessarily what will thrill me, what will thrill the people who are watching my movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he always sees it.
And there lies the difference between an actor and a performer.
Yeah. Mm.
Does anyone have any other movies to bring up?
I would say one more thing about Back to E.T. When I rewatched it again last year, I did not realize that this line was in the movie, and it actually is quite a risque line. One of the kids actually calls one of the other kids penis breath.
That's true.
You won't see that in a family movie today, I can tell you that now.
Exactly.
they've definitely become too PC.
Oh, okay.
That's what I love
politically correct.
What I love about the kids' films from, like, you know, The Goonies, Gremlins, and, you know, E.T. and all that, the 80s and 90s,
in a toilet.
They weren't PC. I mean, even The Goonies wasn't really PC. I mean, they said shit a lot in that movie. Mm.
I just remembered another movie, but I don't want to, like, keep bringing up movies that I've watched. Go ahead, Doug.
All right, cool. A few honorable mentions, and you guys can feel free to have conversations. Obviously, from my perspective, where I grew up, a lot of it had to do with, you know, the time that I was, you know, I grew up, the things I was going through in my life. I guess that's really the same for everyone in the movies that they tend to gravitate to, especially when you're a child. Star Trek. You know, yes. The old movies, the old Star Trek, even the shows, yep. Amazing Star Wars, the entire series.
Yes.
You know, from...
I was a nerd.
That was just me. And I found a lot of solace and escape in those kind of movies. I really, really did as a kid.
I'm Freddy more of a Trekkie than Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm more of a Star Wars guy than I'm a Trekkie. So, you know, it's cool. It's, you know... 6 to 1, half a dozen together for the most part, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm probably more Star Wars than Trekkie, too.
Yeah, well, I'm, like, both. I can't, like, Star Trek, because there's more, you know, probably was more into Star Trek, but Star Wars, I used to watch, like, the original trilogy every weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and then I'd watch, like, episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That was my continuous weekend, like, you know, when I was like 7, 8.
I think from a film perspective, the Star Trek series kind of took away from the movies. Does that make sense to you guys? Had there not been, you know, so many different series and so many different characters and some good characters, some bad characters, had it just been films, I think my perspective, my opinions, my thoughts on it would be a lot different. Just like if there was a Star Wars series of, you know, weekly shows, you know, 4, 5, 6 seasons long, I think that would have really taken from it. Some shows, some movies, some films can get away with that. But it's really, you know, when you're looking at these films, and a lot of them, like Gremlins, when we talked about earlier, there's two. There's never been a remake to the date that we're recording this. And it's just really because it's so kind of, I don't want to say limited, but, you know, two movies. There's other movies, you know, Freddy. There were some great Freddy movies. You know, Freddy Krueger, Jason, Friday the 13th, those kind of things. But at some point, I guess what I'm trying to say is they become somewhat diluted if there's too much of it, and it becomes a little less special. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then another cult classic I forgot to mention, guys, The Shining.
I did see that when I was, like, not so much a kid, I think 11 or 12, and that was, like, really awesome. And the thing that used to freak me out was the old lady in the bathtub.
See, she never freaked me out. I never got the, okay, it's a little gross, but nothing compared to the twins.
No, I didn't have a problem with the twins, actually.
I had a problem with the twins because they were so mysterious. They would show up when you least expect them, and, you know, it's just freaky shit.
Bastards. Nobody likes a bastard.
That's true.
Well, I remember the red rum used to, like, I don't know, it was creepy, but then I'd go around doing the thing going, red rum, red rum, red room over there. Sorry.
Of course, for a period of a lot of years, everybody named their damn dog Red Rum. Spell it backwards.
Yeah. Murder.
Yeah. After Red Rum was D-O-G. What's your dog's name? D-O-G. D-O-G. Kind of stupid.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
They kind of off topic. Talk about names. I used to own a snake. And his name was Guess. Sorry.
Throw it out. His name is what?
Guess.
Guess his name.
Hey, Guess.
Hey, dude, I was single. I had that snake, man. I got, ooh, that was a conversation when I brought the females back to the crib. Oh, yeah.
That's creepy.
Oh, shit. Guess what he got out of his cage? You better run.
If I had to talk about, I'm actually going to go into another classic for me as a kid. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. I'm pretty sure you have, but I'm going to go into sports for a second. And, when I was a kid, I loved playing baseball.
Please tell me you're going to say The Sandlot.
I am going to say The Sandlot.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely without question, even though it only has, you know, like, there's no big names in this movie at all other than James Earl Jones. You know, I don't know what any of these kids really went on to do or anything like that, but I'm telling you, it is without question the greatest kids sports film of all time.
Aside from the Mighty Ducks.
Aside from what?
Aside from the Mighty Ducks.
That's pretty funny. But not as timeless and not as classic in my opinion. It's still very funny though. But I just think like the story of Smalls, you know, coming into a new town and, you know, he's kind of like, you know, what most kids, you know. Yeah. Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
Yeah. You laugh like a duck, yeah. But the beast. But there's so many classic characters in it. And, you know, you've got the amazing story of the friends all binding together to get that one baseball back. And what am I thinking? Dennis Leary and Carrie Allen are in the movie. Yeah, they're
two. Did you know that Marley Shelton, however you pronounce her name, was the lifeguard?
Wendy Peppercorn.
Yeah. I had no idea that was her. Yep. But anyway,
I remember too. But I love Squints, the kid with the glasses. I always saw myself as Squints, but I can't think of a movie that's funny and so uplifting and, you know, showed the genius of sports. One of my favorite all time scenes is when Benny's in his room and, you know, he's thinking about crossing over the fence into the beast's backyard to get that baseball back. Mm. And then he's having a dream and Babe Ruth comes into his room and he's explaining to him, you know, heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
Yeah.
And if you follow your heart, you never go wrong. It's just, there's so many amazing lessons to be learned from that movie of friendship. And it's just a fucking fantastic movie. And one I would kill for a special edition of Blu-ray, whatever.
Yeah, I've got it's nothing on the DVD, but at least I've got it on DVD.
Exactly. It's same
I'm
here.
So glad you brought that up. That, you know, how old was I? 9 years old when that came out. My cousin and I watched that religiously.
Forever.
It is awesome.
I don't remember the movie, guys, but I appreciate you guys bringing it up because I've added it to my instant queue
as well as my
DVD queue for Netflix. So
yeah, definitely.
You will not be disappointed.
Although, can I bring one more little movie up? if I may, because I'm totally getting carried away.
Wendy Peppercorn.
All right. One movie that I hadn't mentioned, but I have talked about it like in really like earlier podcasts. My all-time favorite movie was probably my most watched movie as a kid, which is Stand By Me. And I just think that that is the absolute like best everything.
It is a good movie.
It's amazing. And it's awesome, like, movie. You know, coming of age. And especially when I became that age, you know, when I was like 11 and 12, that movie just had so much meaning for me. Like even more so when I was, you know, like 5 or 6 watching that movie. And then to this day, I cannot watch that movie without completely just breaking down and crying because it just brings up so many memories and it just means so much to me. And it's just, I think it's the greatest ever.
Okay, speaking of The Sandlot, what about The Sandlot 2? I see that there's a sequel that's available on Netflix.
That horrendous, turd of a...
watched it.
Quick money-making scheme. Yeah, don't... pretend it doesn't exist.
The Mighty Duck series were pretty awesome because I remember seeing when it was still called Champions, the first one at the movies when I was a kid, and I just thought at the time it was the best.
Stand tall, fly straight, USA.
That was part 2. But yeah, I think that's how it went. There was that, and I know I said I was going to bring up one more, but I remember the Home Alone series from as being a kid and being mad at the movies. Had a lot of meaning as a kid.
The first two.
And I remember thinking, if someone's going to break into my house, I'm so going to pound them with paint cans. Wait, I don't have any paint cans. Damn it.
You guys give up? Or are you hungry for more?
I have to admit, when I was a kid, when Home Alone came out, I used to watch that movie religiously, and I actually, and believe it or not, this is actually true. I actually told my parents to start calling me Kevin.
Wow.
Everyone to start calling me Kevin instead of Bede, and that only lasted like a little while until eventually, you know, grew out of that stage. But it's true, I actually went by the name Kevin for a few years.
When I used to watch Alice in Wonderland, I wanted to be called Alice.
So, awesome.
Sorry. Anyway, I'd rather not talk about that.
Yeah, oh, actually, Ringwald.
Another movie I want to bring up, I just remembered it just then, is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some.
The movies and the cartoon. I had Ninja Turtles roller skates as a kid.
Ninja. I had Ninja. Ninja
Red. Coming out of my ass when I was younger. Are you kidding me?
Pizza guys, 13 seconds late.
Pizza!
I had, like, my brothers and I, we used to collect all the Ninja Turtle toys.
Yeah.
We used to watch the movies all the time. Yes. And it's funny now when I look back on the first movie, it actually was surprisingly dark, the first
film. It's very dark.
It is, and they changed it for the other ones, and it's like, damn.
Like when Raphael is beaten, you know, half to death, and, you know.
Yeah.
And
Although I have a soft spot for the second movie, Secret of the Ooze, because, you know, that's a lot of fun.
All right, everybody, what was your favorite Ninja Turtle? Mine was Michelangelo.
Leonardo. I was always a Raphael guy.
And Dark
Raphael. Well, he was just a freaking rebel. I don't know.
Especially rebels who are idiots. Like, he seriously, like, every time he wouldn't listen, he'd, you know, either get the shit kicked out of him or get in more trouble than he was supposed to. So
he always came back to rectify the wrong situation. There's life lessons in that, too.
Splinter always took care of that, but...
Ass weapon, are you serious? Get over here, my son.
My name is Splinter.
And I used to love Casey Jones.
Casey Jones.
I had the biggest crush on Casey Jones.
And he was played by Cortese.
And I still have the major crush on him, and I don't care what he looks like now.
You know what I didn't realize about the first movie? You know who else was in that movie in a small role? Sam Rockwell.
Yes, Sam Rockwell was in that. Hilarious.
I did not know that until recently, which was kind of bust me out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I like I said before, I have a soft spot for the second movie because, you know, it has a lot of really cool moments. I mean, well,
the
it has
second
bloody,
one is hilarious.
Like, I have to laugh every time Bill or Ice comes on the screen and does Ninja Turtle rap.
Super
Shredder and also what was that guy's name who was in that movie we're talking about? Argo Marcia, Surf Ninjas, Eddie Raines Jr.
Eddie Raines Jr.
Yeah, that's him. He's in the movie too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pizza boy.
The pizza guy. Yeah.
He was cool.
Yeah, definitely. So many movies.
10 flips now.
Were there any other movies that you guys wanted to bring up, or did you want to like quickly mention like what kiddie movies that you like that have come out recently?
The Breakfast Club.
Oh yeah, The Breakfast Club is a classic.
I have to say The Muppets, like the Muppets movies I used to watch all the time as a kid. And The Dark Crystal, which was absolutely
The Neverending Story.
I can never get enough
of
that.
The Neverending Story, I didn't think of that. That's an awesome movie, I love it.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Never seen it.
But I also got into a Twitter fight with Devin Faraci over that movie too.
Anyone who says anything bad about The Neverending Story, even part two, because I love part two, they can like kiss my ass.
That's what I'm talking about. The floggings will continue till morale improves. Bastards.
Mm.
The Shadow. That was another favorite of mine.
As a kid, I wanted that knife. They actually sold a replica, but it was really expensive, and I was like only little at the time. Well, not little.
I just wanted to look and sound like Alec Baldwin, you know, back then.
I
loved Dick Tracy.
Oh,
I wasn't into Dick Tracy as a kid.
The only good thing that Warren Beatty has ever done, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, that's blasphemous.
Wasn't he like dating Madonna at the time?
I'm sorry, Beat. Yeah, I think he is a useless waste. I'm sorry.
That's it. You and me right now. The sleeves are
name
going.
Name me one movie where he's given a great performance, please.
Red.
Boring.
Heaven Can Wait.
Haven't seen it.
Let's see.
What was the other movie?
Splendor in the Grass.
I don't know. I'd have to look him up.
Now, anyways, back to the topic on hand. But that's another movie.
Yeah.
To Tracy. That's a movie I'm anxiously waiting for that movie to come out on Blu-ray because it will look stunning when it does. Because it's a very visual movie. Oh, yeah. Al Pacino was awesome in that movie.
walnuts?
I
love them.
Did you guys ever watch... I'm just remembering, like, movies that I used to like when I was a kid, and I probably wouldn't watch them now. And I think Nostalgia Critic did reviews for them, like The Wizard and, like, The Three Ninjas.
Mm-hmm. I watched them too.
Like, I remember The Wizard because at the time I was massively into Christian Slater and he was in it, and I love Nintendo. And I, speaking of Christian Slater, I used to completely love... a skateboard movie he did. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the name of it. It was from like 87 or something. And like Robin Hood with Kevin Costner. I used to love that as a kid. So embarrassing. But I still like that movie.
A couple of movies I also loved. Babe, which was...
I wasn't massively into that movie and I didn't really get turned off eating pork. Or bacon.
Well, I didn't
get
turned off eating pork, but I thought the pig was cute at the time. But I love that movie. And did I mention The Muppets before?
Yes, you did.
Okay, well, The Muppets were awesome, especially The Muppet Christmas Carol, which is, like, classic.
Yeah, that was good.
That's another one. Oh, Batman.
Oh, yeah, the original Batman and Batman Returns. And I used to have the Catwoman mask. And the penguin mask, and I used to wear them all the time.
Me too. I got them from bloody McDonald's.
It was McDonald's, yeah. And I used to have, like, the pen holders that you put around your neck that hold your pens. I used to have those, like the Batmobile and Batman and Catwoman. So funny to think about. What about, like, recent, like, family kids movies have you liked, like, recently?
Pretty much like all the Pixar stuff, you know, like WALL-E, Up, Toy Story 3, actually all the Toy Story films.
Yep.
Ratatouille, The Incredibles.
Yep.
All awesome movies.
I think out of those, I've only seen Up and the first two Toy Story movies.
Oh, really? Have you not seen the third one yet?
No. I haven't. And
the third is the best.
Was Monsters, Inc. one of theirs as well?
Yes.
I loved that. And other movies. I really liked Ice Age.
I enjoyed Ice
Age. I saw that at the movies.
It's pretty good. The second one, though, I kind of got turned away from it.
Yeah, I really liked the first one. And I really liked Lilo and Stitch, which I saw at the movies.
Awesome. I never saw it.
It's awesome. You know, I've still got a Stitch toy. Oh, it's awesome. It's really good.
Did you see The Princess and the Frog?
I haven't seen that, no.
That was fantastic. That was a true return to the classic 2D.
Yeah, like, I don't know. With family-orientated movies, they all seem to be, like, The Rock or Vin Diesel or someone else doing something ridiculously stupid.
Oh, exactly. Speaking of that, did we...
And I usually bring all those movies up all the time. Oh, The Iron Giant, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, Iron Giant's good.
I was going to say, speaking of Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what's a great, like, live-action family movie that's been out recently.
I can't really think of one. That's not really good, is it?
Not unless you count, like, the comic book movies, like Spider-Man and all that, but I want to try, you know, one that is aimed at younger audiences.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, they just don't seem as good as they used to be.
Mm.
Which was something, like, I wanted to quickly discuss on the podcast, that now we're struggling to think of those movies where we can easily name them all.
Not unless you count, like, the fantasy films. You know, like The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, The Witch, and the Wardrobe, which was a film I liked.
I haven't watched that.
It was really good. I didn't like the second one, though.
I thought the second one was all right, but it wasn't as good as the first.
I read those books religiously as a kid, but I don't know why I haven't seen at least the first one.
Did we mention The Incredibles, which to me is the best
movie
for the last decade?
Yeah, I need to see that. I can't believe I haven't watched it.
Oh, are you serious?
I've only seen little bits of it. I haven't watched it. I feel like a douche.
As soon as Brad Bird is done with MI4, I want him to do the Incredibles sequel. Fuck Cars. You know.
Fuck Cars. I don't really want to fuck Cars.
You know, Cars is okay, but it is my least favorite Pixar film that they've done.
By far.
It gets boring. Pretty quick. I don't know. A lot of people seem to feel the same way. I can't believe that's the first one that they made a sequel to.
Yeah, my kids really like the new Alice in Wonderland. We watched that about a week ago.
I haven't seen it. I liked this old Alice in Wonderland, which I don't know if anyone's ever heard of. We recorded it on TV like when I was 3, I think. And it's like a 3-hour Alice in Wonderland musical film. I think it was made in 1981. And I managed to find out they released it on DVD and I bought it on Amazon. And I watch it and it's so different now than when I was a kid. But I was obsessed with it. Like, people had to call me Alice because I wanted to be Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 1982. Yeah, I see the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Land of the Lost is another recent good one.
I didn't see that either. But
the Will Ferrell one?
I tend to like Will Ferrell movies. I can't find the movie.
I can see why kids loved it, but I just couldn't.
I'm a fan of Will Ferrell. I think there's limited stuff that he's done that I really didn't enjoy or watch.
I'm a big fan of it as well. Actually, when Marcy posted that. Yeah, like when Marcy Anchorman trailer.
Right.
I must have played that about 10 times. I was just pissing myself off.
Okay. Can I go back to Alice in Wonderland? I got the date wrong. It's 1985.
Oh, 85?
Yeah. And it's got people like Scott Baio playing a pig. It's got Sammy Davis Jr. as the caterpillar.
Gee, what a twist.
Roddy McDowell plays the March Hare. It's got Shelley Winters as the dodo bird. I remember Ringo Starr was a turtle or something in it.
It's strange that all these actors are
Ernest
like
Borgnine
really
was a lion. Yeah, Ernest Borgnine was the lion. It had Lloyd Bridges as the White Knight and Beau Bridges as the unicorn. Carol Channing was the White Queen. It had like Patrick Duffy as the goat. Like all these names in this movie, and it's like 3 hours long. It's Alice in Wonderland and the sequel, the book sequel, put together as one, and I loved it so much when I was a kid. Like, I've still got a video of me on my 4th birthday, and my sister's going, "What's your name?" And I'm going, "Alice." I'm from Wonderland.
That's me, except I'm saying my name is Dr. Jones.
and Bede's going, "You have to call me Kevin McAllister."
Kevin McAllister. Oh, the Brothers Grimm. That was another... I was just looking at like films related to Alice in Wonderland. Did you guys ever see that from Terry Gilliam?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
despite
you should.
Loving That's both fantastic.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I mean, how we're struggling to think of like recent films aside from, you know, like Pixar and the usual.
Like a family type film?
Yeah, like it's easy to name them all like from back then. I guess things I like Spirited Away, which I guess was one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That is good. Other ones I can't really think of, but you know, I think they were just
the pacifier.
No, they were just better when we were younger. Fantastic Mr. Fox, but that felt like it was more for adults.
Yeah.
Rather than anyone younger.
Yeah.
Space Chumps.
What in God's name did you just say?
I don't wanna know.
thought so.
Seeing as we've probably gone a little bit overboard, well, not overboard.
Black Dynamite.
I got one, actually, a recent and a recent live action family film.
This will
really
be the
liked.
Last one.
Enchanted with Amy Adams.
I didn't watch it.
I haven't seen it either.
That's a really good
Despite
movie.
Liking Amy Adams and James Marsden.
But
we'll probably wrap it up. For the show, because I think we've gone on longer than we were meant to.
I just realized this now, Marcy. I forgot to do what my terrible pick of the week is.
Well, before we go, do your terrible pick.
Okay, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen. Sorry, I have seen the "Are We There Yet" sequel. Are We Done Yet?
Are you serious?
Thank you.
Or are you just making that up?
No, he's serious.
I am serious.
Yeah.
You love the ice cube, eh?
I don't make shit up, man.
In conclusion of our show, Beat is terrible, and movies were a lot better back in the day as far as, like, childhood movies, I guess.
I got Speed Racer. Did anyone see that one?
Love Speed Racer.
I didn't. It looked really nice and colorful, though.
Do you want to know? I think that was actually a very underrated and very misunderstood movie.
Ooh, I forgot the Superman and Supergirl movies from when I was a kid.
Mm.
Obviously, because I'm obsessed with that kind of thing.
Got Kung Fu Panda. That's another one I really liked.
And Kung Fu Panda.
I have not seen Kung Fu Panda, actually.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, School of Rock. Awesome. School of Rock. That's a family fun movie.
Yeah.
School of Rock.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of Kung Fu Panda and Jack Black.
For a second, I thought you said Camp Rock.
No, I don't condone the Jonas Brothers.
Jesus Camp. That's a family fun film.
There's two more. I'll give a shout out to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and How to Train Your Dragon. Both of those were great. I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Monsters vs. Aliens, I also thought was great.
I enjoyed that one too.
What are you trying to get in? Because everyone's talking over you.
Who are you talking to? Sorry.
I said Doug because he was trying to talk and everyone was interrupting.
Sorry, Doug.
Pay no attention to behind the hide your kids, hide your wife. I was just agreeing on the picks that you guys made. I mean, you know, some of those movies are. You know, I watch a lot of these movies with my kids, and it's just. So amazing. And, you know, the new movies are great. They're awesome. They're the Pixar, the Disney, gosh, the amazing, amazing graphic cinematics, movies, storylines. They're just on point characters. dialogue. There's a lot of memorable scenes in a lot of these movies that my kids seem to remember them for a long time. And they're all special to me because it's stuff that's new. But I really do think, again, going back to that world nostalgia, I really do think that when you're a child, you're in a different place and things affect you differently. And you tend to hold on to those memories as we become adults, I think.
I agree.
I forgot some. The Karate Kid was a big one. And
I'm gonna.
I can't remember. I just had one in my head, but I forgot. But I really wanted to wrap it up. So
I have to shout out Power Rangers, the movie. I used to watch that.
Actually, I used to watch Waterworld as a kid. That
was another movie with ooze.
Damn.
Exactly.
Mega versus a giant octopus. One of the best films ever.
I don't know. I'm kind of partial to Mega Piranha because, you know, there's a scene where the main character karate kicks giant piranhas.
Oh, another classic copy as a kid. Ace Ventura.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I remember that. I remember being obsessed with how he talked with his ass. Oh, yeah, Spy Kids. I liked Spy Kids. For recent
Lava, Shark Girl or Shark Boy and Lava Girl? Anyone?
No, because didn't that have the guy that's in Twilight?
Like, yeah, that's got Taylor Lautner, so I officially shunned that movie.
Little Shark Boy.
That movie came before Sin City 2, so I can, you know, consider it blasphemy.
Well, there is a Spy Kids 4 in the way.
Why? Why the fuck? Just do Sin City 2. Why? What the fuck? Nobody's gonna go fucking see it.
Yes, they will. You know there's dumbass people out there. Let's be real.
Actually, there was movie that I liked. It was a recent movie. I thought I liked it for what it was as a family movie, and that was the Percy Jackson movie. I didn't think it was too bad.
Rosario.
Yes.
Her scene was so ridiculously short, and I remember watching it, and I'm like, you know, when she starts coming on to that one guy?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. The guy from Tropic Thunder, I can't even remember his name now. And he's, slapping her hand away and shit like that, and I'm like, you are fucking kidding me, right?
Nice.
Are you slapping away Rosario Dawson's hand from touching you? You fucking, I almost had to turn off the movie, but it's actually, as a family fun film. It was pretty good, but I think they were expecting it to be the next Harry Potter series, and that was not the case.
But yeah, now I've been trying to wrap up the show for 5 minutes. We'll definitely wrap it up now.
It's all your fault, Pete.
Yeah, Kevin.
I blame it on the damn dude. That's okay. I'll take it.
Sorry, Kevin.
Anyway, I'd like to thank all of our two guests and my co-hosts for the show.
Thanks, Marcy.
I will have details where you can find us all on Twitter and blah, blah, blah on the podcast page. I'd normally do that. So that way, if you want to bother Bede and call him Kevin on Twitter, you can go do that. So thanks again, guys. Until next time, I'm Marcy and those guys are those guys.
Smoke them if you got them.
And I am the terrible Australian because I am terrible.
I'm just a slave to the sweetness of soup.
What kind of soup?
Soup or Marcy?
The soup starring Joel McHale.
Alrighty. Alrighty, with that, see you later.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Almost there.
Is the Green Machine gonna rock the town without being seen? Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody's moved. Vanilla is filled with a new jack.